the Lord has for us there either. It's a tremendous psalm, gentlemen. I'm talking about one of the probably the most quoted and most read, and especially at funerals, one of the most preached psalms in all the Bible. And this is not in my notes, but I want to say to you this morning, I want everybody to get a hold of this now. This psalm is not intended for a man at the point of death. The psalm is intended for a man likened unto a sheep that has been led by his shepherd from the valleys below to the mountaintops where he feeds in the spring on the high mountains. And going to those mountains, he passes through the valley of the shadow of death many times. And so I want to look at this psalm today and hope that it'll be a blessing to us. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that reading of the word this morning. Father, again, I want to ask you to help to settle my heart and the men, and help us this morning to see great and wonderful truths out of the Word of God. May your name today be highly magnified, that men might know that thou art God and beside you there is none other. And help us, Lord, today to realize the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. And may our hearts be blessed and stirred, and we'll thank you and praise your precious name for doing it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, this morning I may mention a few other verses, but for our text we'll get no further than in verse number 1, where David said there, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Notice, gentlemen, the two words that meet together there, shepherd and I. And I want to try to take that thought, if I can, in Sunday school and be a blessing to you this morning, on the thought, the shepherd and I. I'm glad, thank God, that he is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Now, it's good and a blessing that he's somebody else's shepherd, but I'm glad that he's my shepherd. He's a personal shepherd. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, why do we need a shepherd?" Because on your own, you'll destroy your life. I'll tell you, creatures, God's creatures, are weak and feeble and sometimes very foolish, and without a shepherd to guide them, they'll no doubt fall into pits and snares along the way, and their life will be made havoc by the power of the devil. But I'm glad, thank God, that I've got a shepherd. He guides me through the world. This world is at enmity with God, gentlemen. It is not a friend of God. Somebody said, "Well, the world is my friend." Then you need to get born again by the good grace of God today. I'm telling you, there's many temptations and allurements in the world, but the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Amen. He guides me through this world. Now, I want to just read some notes that I've written down here. There's, if you'll notice, there is no inspired title to this psalm, and none is really needed, for it records no special events in the life of David. Most of his psalms are refer to some special event or some particular happening in the life of David, but not so in Psalm number 23. It needs no other key than that which every Christian may find in his own bosom. This psalm is David's heavenly pastoral. May I say to you that every sheep needs a pastor. Every sheep must have a shepherd. And David here is giving us some great truths that he found in relationship to himself and his sheep. If you remember, the Lord said specifically about David that he brought him out of the sheepfold from following the sheep and made him the king over all Israel. And in his life as a shepherd boy, David became familiar with the life of the sheep. He became familiar with their habits and their ways. He became familiar with their weaknesses and their strong points. And David fell in love with his sheep. Aren't you glad this morning that the great shepherd loves your soul? I'm telling you, thank God, I'm glad I'm loved by God. Amen. That's right. I'm telling you, somebody else may not love me, but God loves me. And you may not love me, but God loves me. And I tell you, that love motivates my heart and prompts me to say that the Lord is my shepherd, gentlemen, and I shall not want. I want to say I'm glad I got a relationship with the Lord. Amen. Now we've got a relationship here to each other as brothers in Christ. I've got a relationship to my wife. I've got a relationship to my children, my grandchildren. But oh, I'm glad, thank God, I've got a relationship with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Somebody said, what relationship is that? He is my Father and I'm His Son. I'm an offspring of God. I've been birthed by the Holy Ghost. I've been made to believe, gentlemen. I've been redeemed, blood-bought, washed in His blood. I am God's child. Therefore, I can say the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Hallelujah to God. He is my shepherd. Guides me through the troubled waters. Amen. Through perilous times. Over the rocky mountain tops and through the grassy meadows of the plains. God is my shepherd and I shall not want. Hallelujah to God. Somebody said, will he ever leave me alone? No, he'll never forsake me, nor fail me, nor will he ever leave me. For the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not walk. There is, I feel sorry for that crowd. I feel sorry for that crowd that entertains the idea that the Lord will forsake them. Now here's what they say. Well, he'll never forsake us, but we can forsake him. Now I'm going to tell you what he'll do if a sheep forsakes him and strays. Huh? By the way, in a sheepfold, those sheep that walk closely to the shepherd, he gives them a personal name. He calls them by their name and they learn to love him. But you've always got that old rebel devil, you know. That's always wanting, instead of eating in the pastures that he has, always wants to stray out and feed on an old bramble bush or some old rotten terrain. And somebody said, well, they'll stray and leave the Lord. No, he'll very lovingly seek after that sheep. And very lovingly bear him up back into the fold. And I'll tell you, if that sheep continues to stray, drastic measures will take place. He'll very gently break the leg of that little sheep to prevent him from going astray. Oh yes, gentlemen, I'm not worried about God leaving me nor me leaving God. I've been sealed into the day of redemption by the power of the Holy Ghost. He which hath begun a good work in me shall perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Having begun in the Spirit, I'll never be made perfect by the works of the flesh. I can truly say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. He's my shepherd, gentlemen. Amen. That's right. Now, look at the position of this song. It fits right immediately. Now, this takes some real mathematical calculation. It comes right immediately after Psalm number 22. Huh? Now, but get a hold of this. What was it that the shepherd cried in Psalm 22? My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But oh, after the triumph in verse in chapter 22, chapter 23 begins with the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Gentlemen, I saw something there that I've never seen before. Getting ready for this text, I saw something there that I'd never seen before. You know, when Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He put his place as himself in the place of a lost sinner. Let me ask you men something. When you fell under old timey, I'm talking about old timey now, Holy Ghost conviction. Did you feel like you was out in no man's land? Several years ago, Miss Hall and I went on vacation. We went up into the Dakotas. We went through the Badlands. They are Badlands, too. Now, I wouldn't want to get out there on a horseback in the middle of that mess. Not know, oh, they're the Badlands. But there have been men that have gotten out in there and gotten lost and suddenly realized that they were in no man's land. And I'm sure that looking about, they wondered where is everybody at. And maybe they entertained the thought, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That is exactly how I felt as a lost sinner. When the Holy Ghost of God, gentlemen, are you listening, isolated me from everybody else. That's conviction, by the way. God will isolate you from everybody around you and point you out, my friend, and let the Holy Ghost deal with you one-on-one in a particular way. And a sinner at that time may feel, I have been forsaken of God. Oh, but once he gets born again, he can cry, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. I tell you, no sinner that's been found realizes quite well that it was the shepherd that came out into no man's land. Hallelujah to God. Where was that? And brought him into the fold by the good grace of God. The Lord is my shepherd, gentlemen. And I shall not want. Amen. Yes, sir. Now, isn't that wonderful? That is wonderful. That's right. Amen. And that old sinner under conviction cries, the Lord, after being saved, cries, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, I've got two thoughts this morning. We'll run right through them right quickly. The shepherd, point one, and the sheep, point two. The shepherd and I. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, just three or four things about the shepherd. May I say that, number one, the shepherd, him as the shepherd, he protects the sheep, gentlemen. As no other can, he protects the sheep. You see, the sheep are weak, they're defenseless, and they're very often foolish. And they make terrible mistakes left on their own. And by the way, left on their own, they are vulnerable to the enemy and the prey that would rob them or deprive them of the blessings of the shepherd, snatch them out of the flock, amen, and devour them in the presence of the shepherd. But I'm glad, thank God, the Lord is my shepherd, and as my shepherd, gentlemen, he is my protection today. May I say to you, by way of illustration, he is sort of like Job. In Job chapter number 1, you know, the old devil come into the presence of God with the sons of men when they come to make their petitions to God. And the Lord asked him, said, where you been, devil? And he said, I've been walking to and fro in the earth and going up and down in it. And the Lord said, have you ever considered my servant Job? And the devil said, yep. Said, I've walked around that perimeter for many years, just waiting for you to drop the perimeter, drop the hedge, so I could get into where he's at. But the devil said, there's one problem there, God. That fella's got a hedge about him. And unless that hedge is removed, I just cannot get into where he's at. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what is that hedge for? Listen carefully. That hedge, number one, is there to keep Job in, and number two, to keep sin out. Did y'all get a hold of that? To keep Job in and sin out. Somebody said, what is that hedge? Well, to keep you and I in, it may be the bread. And to keep the devil, well, let me rephrase that. To keep you and I in, it may be some thorns along the way. And to keep the devil out, no doubt it's the blood. But at any rate, gentlemen, the Lord is my shepherd, and as my shepherd, He protects me in all of my ways. Let me read this to you. And, of course, you know David, as in 1 Samuel 17, when he went out to fight Goliath, he told the story of him protecting the sheep by fighting a bear and a lion. And so he knew what he was speaking of when he said that he would protect the shepherd, would protect the sheep. Now, I want to read you this. It's kind of lengthy. And when I read it, I'm telling you, I just about got beside myself. Miss Hall's got a big old stuffed sheep she used to keep in the foyer. And the thing got so much stuff out there, she carried it and put it in the basement. And yesterday, when I was reading this very thought that I'm getting ready to give you, she came out of that basement room with her foot doing that way, sliding that big old stuffed sheep in front of her. I went to laughing. She said, "What are you laughing about?" I said, what I just read. And then you come out pushing that little old stuffed sheep. That's about that. I said, "I can't believe it." Here's what I read. Here's what I was reading, gentlemen. J.L. Porter in 1867, while speaking about an actual experience that he eyewitnessed in regards to shepherds and their sheep, made this statement. He said, "The shepherds themselves had none of that peaceful and placid aspect which is generally associated with pastoral life and habits." Somebody said, "What are you saying, preacher?" You know, most Baptists today get the idea that their pastor, their shepherd, has got to be some little namby-pamby fellow with a lace on his underwear, amen, and always wearing a smile, sitting down at some old lady's tea party and patting folks on their back and pinching them on the toes when they're in the bed at the hospital. Amen. But Mr. Porter said, "Hey, those real shepherds I saw did not look very peaceful, like very peaceful men to me, buddy." Now just hang with me. Here's what he said about them. He said they looked more like warriors marching to the battlefield. Can I say to you, that's exactly what my Lord is. He is a warrior on the battlefield, ready to go to war and to do battle with the adversaries that would devour His sheep. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, gentlemen. I shall not want. I'm protected by the warrior of warriors, the living Son of God. He is my shepherd. Now, we ain't there. We ain't done yet. He said they've got a long gun shining, slung from the shoulder, a dagger, and heavy pistols in the belt, a light battle axe or an iron-headed club in the hand. And such were their equipments. And their fierce, flashing eyes and scowling countenance showed but too plainly that they were prepared to use their weapons at any moment. Somebody said, "What are you saying, Brother Hall?" I'm saying, bless your heart, that a real shepherd is a man of war, and he's not some little Johnny come lately, whistle britches, Casper, milk toast, Bermuda short, wearing ear tickling, television watching, egg sucker, amen, that ties down to everything. He's a real man, bless your heart, made up all the way, a man ready to fight the battles of the sheep, stand in the gap, make up the hedge, and fight for those that he loves. I had folks to say, "Now, Brother Hall, you'd get more people in down there if you would smile. I'm just being a shepherd, gentlemen." Somebody said, "You oughtn't to scowl so much and drop your countenance." Bless God, I'm a shepherd. Now, I'm going to tell you, hey, look here. Somebody said, "Well, now, Jesus ain't that way. You just let the devil come snooping up around the door to the sheepfold, and the real shepherd of the sheep laying in that doorway, I'm going to tell you what, he'll roll over, look the devil right in the eye and say, 'Wah!'" Somebody said, "How can he say that? The devil might be a roaring lion, but the shepherd is, gentlemen, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah to God. That's right. He is a lion. He is a lion to the adversary and a lamb to the sheep. Hallelujah to God. Now, I've got text, proof text of that in the book of Revelation if you want to turn over and read it. Amen. That's right, fellas. When I walk about in the daytime, I got my guns in my belt, literally. I got my battle axe in my hand. Amen. And I'm glad that I'm not some little pretty boy. Bless God with lace on his britches. They called me into Nashville a couple of weeks ago, and I said, "What in the world am I doing down there?" They said, "They want us to look at you." I said, "Well, why you don't look at me?" He said, "Folks at the VA, they want to know whether you got scars on your face or not." I said, "Have I?" He said, "You sure have. They ain't very pretty, but bless God, hey, I ain't in this thing for looks, Brother Jerome." No, sir. Somebody said, "When you preach, Brother Hall, you don't look very pretty." Hey, gentlemen, every time a man of God opens up the Bible, he's a doing battle with the devil and the host and him to hell. We're trying to prevent him from preaching the word of God just like it is to sinners. Amen. I'm glad he protects the sheep, gentlemen. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Not only as my shepherd does he protect the sheep, but as our shepherd, he points the sheep in the right direction. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, what do you mean? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. He leadeth me." What was that song Brother Milby sings? What is it? No, about that shepherd. He's a shepherd of my valley. Something on, move on, oh shepherd of my valley. I'm lead on, lead, that's right. Lead on, lead on, oh shepherd of my valley. I'm glad he points the way, gentlemen. He leads me beside the still water. Somebody said, "Oh," said Brother Hall, I've been saved. I'm just kind of outside the will of God." No, my friend, you ain't going to stay out there if you're a sheep. I'm telling you, the shepherd points the way, and if you stray out of the sheepfold, bless your heart, he knows how to come and get you. I'm going to tell you what this crowd is. They are stinking billy goat. Amen. That's right. Now, that same J.L. Porter made this statement. Gentlemen, it's kind of lengthy, but these are the best things I've heard on the sheep in I don't know how long. Listen to what he says. He says, as we sat, the silent hillsides around us were in a moment filled with life and sound. The shepherds led their flocks forth from the gates of the city. They were in full view. And we watched them and listened to them with no little interest. Thousands of sheep, listen now, thousands of sheep were there grouped in dense, confused masses. The shepherds stood together until all came out. They never said a word. They just stood there. Till every sheep that came out of the gate of the city, they stood there. Then they separated, each taking a different path, uttering as he advanced a shrill, peculiar call. "Aren't you glad that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me? Hallelujah to God!" Oh yes, that shepherd made a very distinct sound that only those of his fold would follow after. That's right. Somebody said, "I've never heard the shepherd." You need to get born again. They're not going to follow a stranger. Somebody said, "Well, I'm going up to the first church." Come on now. "Well, I'm going to go over here where they speak in tongues." Come on, fellas. A stranger will they not follow. Y'all want me to hide? You ain't going to egg me, are you? Well, we'll go up here to the untied Methodist church. They ain't tied to nothing or nobody. They claim they have it, but they can lose it, so apparently they never did get it. Each shepherd making a distinct sound. Huh? They separated, each taking a different path and uttering, as he advanced, a shrill, peculiar call. The sheep heard them. My sheep hear my voice. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I hear his voice, and I follow him. I'm going to tell you what he gives to. He gives eternal life. Everybody look right up here. There's a difference between eternal life and everlasting life. Huh? Everlasting life has a beginning but no end. Eternal life has neither beginning nor ending. Amen. Everlasting life deals with the human responsibility of it. You know the day that you got saved. But eternal life deals with the God side of it. And I'm going to tell you, in the mind of God, somebody said, now, Brother Hall, don't get off on that stuff. In the mind of God's Son, who knows all things, now don't rotten egg me, gentlemen. God is never, there's never one thought, one thing ever occurred to God. He knew the ending from the beginning. He knew what would happen for him before he ever started this thing. And our names were recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. The day we got saved. From the foundation of the world. Mark her down, buddy. Somebody said, you're a Calvinist, Colby. Whatever you want, but it never took God by surprise on September the 13th, 1970, when I got saved by the good grace of God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, Brother Steve, it didn't take God by surprise. That day out in that old garage, you knelt down to that old bench, you was a painting on, hallelujah to God, talking about a fight against liquor, and God birthed you into the family of God. I'll tell you one thing, the angels didn't stand up and sing, set another place at the table. Guess what? Guess what, you poor little benighted God? Another one just got saved. Not hardly, gentlemen. Don't you bring my God down on your level. Let my God be God. All wise, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. He is God, gentlemen. What was it, oh? That old Southern Baptist black preacher said that God stepped out of somewhere when there was nowhere to step from. Amen. And he stepped out onto something when there was nothing to stand on. And spoke everything into existence when there was nothing to speak. Are you getting a hold of what? He's God, gentlemen. Amen. Oh, yes, he's God. Amen. Now, I want you to notice this. That man that said the sheep heard them. Get this, I like this. At first the masses swayed and moved as if shaken by some internal convulsion. Can you hear it? When they heard that sound of that shepherd. I don't know what kind of a sound it might have been. I remember when I was a young boy and helped my uncle on the farm and helped my cousins on the farm, they always had a bunch of old hogs and some cows around. I can still hear my Uncle Chester walking out to that old hog pen. I can hear him as he left the house with a slop bucket. Sweet pig! Sweet pig! Hey, do you know the amazing thing, friend? Every pig on the farm. Sunday come around. Sweet pig! Sweet pig! And here come the cat. Here come the hog. Hey, he got done slopping the hogs. He'd walk up into that barn loft, grab that pitchfork, swing open them doors, and he'd holler, "Soldiers! Here'd come the cow. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying the hogs never answered the call of the cows. The cows never answered the call of the hogs. Then he'd walk into the corn crib, get a handful of corn, holler, and every one of the chickens would come to where the corn was at. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want, gentlemen. I know his voice, and I follow him. Look here. Now, when those shepherds first made those shrill sounds, it said that those sheep would just sway and shake as if moved by some internal convulsion. Kind of like some of you all. When you sit on that pew, Steve Vincent. Me, Lord. You talking to me? Steve Vincent. Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You don't need to go to him. You've already been saved. Oh, Lord, there's two voices. Huh? Steve, don't make a fool out of yourself. There's three voices. Whose voice you going to follow? Steve, you've done this three times. It won't work on the fourth time. Come now, let us reason together. Well, he finally heard that right voice. Can you hear what I'm saying? And fell into the right line. Hallelujah to God. Ain't that the way it happened or not, Steve? Do you feel them internal convulsions just kind of pushing you, shaking you, and shoving you? Not really understanding and knowing what voice to listen to. But I'm telling you, in a moment, that voice of the shepherd of the sheep. Now, let me finish reading this. I like this. He said, then point struck out in the direction taken by the shepherd. These became longer and longer until the confused masses were resolved into long living streams flowing after their leaders. Gentlemen, if you ever walked in that office and looked at that little old picture I've got in there with Ken Holland, the shepherd and his sheep, and it shows those little sheep walking in a straight line down over the hill following their shepherd. They hear his voice, and another will they not follow. A stranger will they not follow. But they'll follow that point man. He is our file leader, our point man, who will lead us all the way into heaven.
Amen.
That's right. And we need to notice, too, that the shepherd goes before him as a point man, not merely to point out the way, but to see if it's practical and safe. God will never ask you to go anywhere that he's not been there himself. He'll never advise you in any direction, gentlemen, unless he's first been there. That's why in the psalm, and we may get there if God will let us. That's why David, when he maketh them to lie down in green pastures, and he would ascend into that grassy mountain valley where the grass was growing, and they could feast and eat and be nourished and grow strong. That's why David would always precede them as a shepherd and find that special watering hole and clean the leaves out and the debris out of it. Amen. That's right. He wanted to make sure that it was a practical way and that it was safe. And as he went, he drove out the enemies for them. Now, I'm about to get started, I think. Amen. The point man of the sheep. He also, as the shepherd, he pastures the sheep. Notice what he says. He maketh them to lie down in green pastures. The good shepherd. I'm going to have to hurry. My time's gone. The good shepherd is skilled in pasturing his sheep and in bringing them into a fruitful ground that they can thrive upon. He will never suffer his sheep to feed upon rotten soil, but in wholesome pastures. Somebody said, what are those pastures? Scriptures of truth, always fresh, rich, never exhausted. The sweet blades of the gospel, that's fit food for souls, my friend, tender grass for any child of God to feed upon. Somebody said, well, Brother Hall, I'm just not crazy about the scriptures, and I'm not crazy about the gospel, and I'm not crazy about grace, and I'm not crazy about the Word of God. I'd rather be in some church where there's a football team or a baseball game or a basketball team, or where they got a cantata, or where they've got a Christmas program or place for their children. I'd rather have the Word of God, gentlemen.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, you show me a man that don't enjoy the Bible, and I'll show you a lost man. Somebody said, well, your preaching ain't hot enough. I like food cold. Somebody said, it's too hot. I like it cold that way. I like it anyway, gentlemen. I can eat food hot or cold. Amen. That's right. And then the sheep, and I've already covered these, but in chapter number 10 of John, there's six or seven things there about the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. Number one, they know the shepherd. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I get put out at this crowd, and that's in verse number 14 of John chapter number 10. I don't have time to turn to all of it. But I might read some of it for you. John 10 and verse number 14. The scripture says, I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. I want everybody to look right up here at me. This old mess, I don't know whether I'm saved or not, is for the birds. Yes, you know whether you're saved or not. Because you know Him. Huh? Fellas, have you ever... Do you think you could ever forget me? You've met me? You know, if you've met somebody, and I guarantee you, a sinner knows when he's met Christ. How could you not know or miss knowing that you've met the most wonderful person in all the universe? Sure, you know Him. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They know His voice, and another will they not follow. You ever heard Him speak? Huh? I wrote this down as a note. And I say this for everybody, but primarily for preachers. If you don't know it's Him that has spoken, you better leave it alone. Well, I believe it's God's will that I go here. Did you hear a voice? Well, I believe it's God's will that I do this. Did you hear a voice? I've had people to sit down in there in the office and tell me, Brother Hall, I believe it's God's will that I go somewhere else and go to church. Did you hear a voice? They follow Him. And by the way, gentlemen, He doesn't have to drag them. Let me ask you something. Do you have to be pumped and primed to get into the house of God? Begged, pleaded, tugged on? Drug? Come on, please. I mean, like a man getting a dog to jump for a bone. Please, please. Jump for it and I'll give it to you. Does Jesus have to do you that way to get you into church? David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Huh? They trust Him. They trust Him. There's two other things. I didn't write them down. That's enough anyway. The Lord is my shepherd, gentlemen, the shepherd and I shall not want. I never even got into that part of it. I shall not want. Let me ask you this. Are you contented? Are you satisfied with what God's given you? Are you contented, huh? I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I shall not want. May God add the blessing to His word.